She is with Pioneer Hybrid. She's a program lead for insect control programs. She is one of the most outgoing people I know. And I would say if you get a chance at the mixer, if you're here later, hopefully you will be, talk to Laura. You will leave with a smile on your face. She's just fun to talk to. And I'm really excited she's here to present our next presentation, which is data on women in entomology. You've come a long way, baby.
Thank you, Patty, for that very kind introduction. I think that just made my day. And thanks, Rita and Patty, for putting this together. I tell you, this has been quite a happy diversion from corn borers and rootworms, which is where I spend most of my time. So it was a lot of fun to prepare for this. When musing over titles for this presentation, I had to chuckle when I thought about an old cigarette commercial that I remembered for Virginia Slims. And I'm clicking, and do I need to arrow down to get through this?
Yeah. There we go.
The Virginia Slims slogan was, "You've come a long way, baby." And just for the record, if you were a much younger audience, I would never lead with a cigarette ad. I figure we're all old enough to recognize that smoking is bad for your health. I just want to leave you with that today. But the folks who put this advertising campaign together were specifically targeting professional women, actually. And they often crafted a message around how far women had come in breaking traditional stereotypes. So the topic of data on women in entomology was really appealing to me because, to be honest with you, other than my own experience, I really had no idea how far we'd come or how many stereotypes had been broken. So it was a very appealing topic to start to dig into. So for this reason, I ended the title of my talk with both an exclamation point, because I was sure we'd be finding all kinds of wonderful information to celebrate, but I also ended it with a question mark, just in case the investigation were to fall short. And I think we'll see a little bit of both, and we'll hear a little bit of both all through the afternoon, I think. So some immediate successes are obvious, simply from looking at this year's Entomological Society of America annual meeting program. I am happy to announce that we no longer have a ladies program, specifically, that was instituted by the society in days of old because, and I quote, "The number of wives of members who attend the annual meeting has been increasing, and we wish to encourage such attendance." That was circa 1965. I just want you to note, by 1967, however, we had become much more broad-minded. We also invited wives and female guests of members. Apparently didn't have to be married in 1967 to accompany a male member of the society. Rita and I particularly also liked the Festival of Hats that was part of this program in 1967, which probably was really fun, you know. I don't want to be too hard on the Festival of Hats. But today I'm happy to report that the society makes very few assumptions about the gender of our partners or our spouses and has recently offered childcare at several annual meetings. And so I would conclude that indeed we have come a long way. So as I began researching this topic, let me start first. We're going to get into some data, obviously, about how we're faring. We'll talk a little bit about some of the past symposium on this topic when we've met to discuss women in entomology. Then we'll dig down into some of the numbers. How are we faring in academic programs? How are we doing in the private sector? How are we faring in the ESA? And just look at some of the general trends. So as I began researching the topic, it kind of intuitively made sense to start with post-secondary education to see how women fared in entomology and in graduate and undergraduate programs. Entomology training, of course, would be our launch pad to faculty positions, to government positions, private industry, and involvement in the ESA. But interestingly enough, as I started digging around for data, it became apparent that there just aren't volumes of information on the fate of women in our profession. This was somewhat troubling until I came across the proceedings from a very similar symposium that Rita already brought up. Yes, in fact, we have done this before. That was published in the 1987 Bulletin of the Entomological Society of America. So in 1985, there was an informal conference that was held at the ESA meeting in Hollywood, Florida. And the discussion topics were the status and role of women in entomology. Diane Calabrese led the contributing authors with a piece entitled "Women in Entomology, History and Current Statistics." She confirmed what I suspected, and I quote, "The discipline of entomology has not been a leader in reviving memories of the contributions of women." However, Dr. Calabrese did report excellent statistics regarding women's progress in academia and ESA. but she noted that she had not yet determined the employment patterns of female entomologists in industry and government. Incidentally, if you're interested, in 1985, this session was reported as being very well received. It was attended by several hundred people, so we're going to have to get out and recruit a few more people here before the end of the afternoon. And it had a tremendous audience response in the question and answer period, and followed by what they reported as an enthusiastic reception after the symposium. So there may have been dancing on the tables. We'll have to keep up. I want to report for anybody who was there so we know how we should act. All right, so let's start digging into some information. So how many women are being trained as entomologists to start with? The ESA website lists 16 institutions that offer a bachelor's degree in entomology in the U.S. So if your favorite institution is on there or about to come off of there, I think we could update the ESA so we have a complete list. 23 universities offer minors in entomology, and for those seeking advanced degrees, we have a list of about 65 institutions in North America that offer a master or doctoral degree in entomology. So clearly, there's no shortage of programs. So how do women fare? The data on graduation rates is typically generalized, but if we look specifically in the biological sciences, we see that women are very well represented in receiving undergraduate and graduate degrees. In 2008, 60% of the bachelor's degrees, 59% of the master's degrees, and 50% of the doctorates were awarded to women. This information was tabulated by the National Science Foundation. Specific to entomology, 43% of the doctorates awarded in 2009 were awarded to women, according to the survey of earned doctorates. So to put these numbers into perspective, 40 years ago, women earned roughly 30% of the bachelor's and master's degrees and less than 20% of the PhDs. So clearly today, women students are nearly equally represented at our universities in many science and technology-related fields, with the notable exception of engineering, where women are still very, very underrepresented. And when school is over, women enter the workforce. For those pursuing faculty positions, the numbers suggest that women are not being equally represented in entomology departments in the U.S. I did want to bring up this specific example of a very recent article that ran in the Des Moines Register that talked about Iowa State's specific programs in helping to encourage faculty positions, women in faculty positions in STEM subjects. If you'll hear about STEM if you're not already familiar with it. It just stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. And the article did say that women were making gains to continue, but they continue to be underrepresented in faculty positions. And this trend actually is not just isolated to Iowa State University, as it turns out. If you look at specific websites that rank entomology programs based on female faculty members, there's some nice resources. There's a resource called graduateschools.phds.org, which is a website that's sponsored by the National Postdoctoral Association and the Center for Science in the Media, and it allows you to rank entomology programs based on the number of female faculty members. And the numbers aren't just that great. The top 15 programs based on this criterion have 14 to 38% female faculty, with only two programs that have over 30% women. And unfortunately, there are some zeros there too. So clearly we have some work to be done to gain equal representation in faculty positions. And I think we'll hear more about that too later this afternoon. In the private sector, data specifically on entomologists is difficult to find. The National Science Foundation published a report in 2011 on women, minorities, and persons with disabilities in science and engineering that shows just under half of the biological and life scientists employed in the U.S. are women. The U.S. Department of Commerce reports that while women make up nearly half of all workers in the country, only 24% are employed in science, technology, engineering, and math. As a woman entomologist who works in an industry, I can report anecdotally that women are very well represented at entry-level positions. And I'll just throw out an example. Of the past 31 employees that my company hired, Pioneer, that had graduated from or worked through the Iowa State Department of Entomology, 17, or over half of them, were women. Not all of these employees were working in entomology specifically, but clearly they were involved in some aspect of life sciences. I can also kind of say anecdotally from my experience that while women are well represented at entry-level positions in science, as you move further and further up the research organization, we become less and less equally represented. And this is a trend that we'll hear about all afternoon, I think. However, I can't say that my company or its mother company, DuPont, has anything but great intentions in getting women in leadership positions. And I would just throw Ellen Coleman's name up for your consideration. She is the CEO of DuPont. She is ranked by Forbes magazine as the fourth most powerful woman in business and a great example of a very smart and talented woman in a very high-profile leadership role at DuPont. She's also an engineer by training, which bucks another general trend in STEM. So, very cool. In terms of ESA participation, women have made progress. Women constitute 19% of the regular or family membership of the ESA, compared to 8.8% in 1982 and 1.5% in 1957. Consistent with the number of women observed in undergraduate and graduate programs in the biological sciences, women constitute 50% of the student membership of the ESA. Student transition and early professional members constitute 41 and 42% of our membership, respectively. So again, we're doing great when we're being educated, and we see is that as you transition into your professional life and you get to regular membership, we see kind of a decay in the representation of women in the society. As we've already seen this afternoon, the society has had four female presidents. I don't mind putting them up again. There's only four in our 122-year history, so I want to make sure you get a good look at them. Dr. Edith Patch in 1930, Dr. Dorothy Fair in 1989, Dr. Manya Stetzel in 1996, and Sharon Quisenberry, who is right up here in the front row, in 2000, our own rock star president here. Many women have served and continue to serve on the ESA Governing Board, with four women currently serving on the board in 2011. I would also note that Ms. Wendy Johnson from Kansas State University was the first student ever elected to the Governing Board, which is a significant historic first for our society. So the trends we see on the data in women in entomology are encouraging. Women are well represented in undergraduate and graduate programs in the biological sciences and entomology, and there's one of our exclamation points. They are active and well represented as students within the ESA, and this is really exciting to see. Women also appear to be well represented in entry-level positions in the private sector. However, it does appear to be diminishing representation at higher levels of all organizations. It includes faculty positions, industry, and the ESA, and I think there is our question mark. But why does this happen? I think we'll talk a lot about that this afternoon, and the list of whys is long and varied. It includes reasons such as, but certainly not limited to, a lack of mentoring, unintended hiring biases, societal constraints, and simply life balance choices. Many of these things, like I said, will be discussed this afternoon. Not unlike the biological systems we study, the answers are likely complex and influenced by our personal, professional, and societal environments. And the reasons we might be not equally represented, I don't believe are all negative. I suspect that women in entomology are making significant contributions, not only in our professional fields, but in very many significant other areas of their lives and in society. I can look out across this group of men and women today and declare with confidence that, in fact, women have come a long way. So with that, I would like to again thank Rita and Patty for the opportunity to present. I would also like to acknowledge Dr. Marilyn Rice and Dr. Susan Mosier for helping with gathering some of the information that went into this presentation, and Chris Stelzig and Debbie Sutton also for their help in getting some of the statistics around membership in ESA. And with that, I would like to leave you with a very deep cartoon for you to contemplate. It might be hard to read the caption on this cartoon. But I do that to emphasize one thing. Whether you're the president of the ESA, or if you're a National Academy of Science scientist, whether you're a graduate student, whether you're a mom, you can influence the world in very positive ways, in ways seen and unseen, big and small. And whether they're recognized or not, sometimes you may never know. But just recognize that we make decisions every day that have big influences on the world. So keep at it. Keep going a long way, baby.
We do have a couple minutes if there's any questions.
And when I was in grad school in UMass in the early 1980s, half of the graduate students were women. And so, I don't know, have we really come a long way? I mean, we can, like, way back then, half of the graduate students were women, and they still haven't.
Right. And just so we can get it on the recording, the comment was that 30 years ago at UMass, when you were in graduate school, there was 50% of the graduate students were women. So have we, in fact, come a long way? I think equal representation in graduate school is a great thing. To me, the big concern is what happens after that. That's, I think, we'll hear a lot of comments today about what happens post-graduate school that shows those kind of deteriorating trends of representation. Yeah. So first off, I'd like to say thank you, because I'm sure that wasn't easy to be first. It's never easy being first, but that's a great observation. Yeah,
progress.
It's progress.
Slow.
Yeah. Very good.
Okay. Great.